3. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men as spies secretly to Shittim, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight and to search out our land." And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out our land."
Good morning. This is the third in our series this month. We are looking at the five women who were found listed among those that are in the genealogy of Jesus, which appears in the first chapter of the book of Matthew. We already talked about Mary and Tamar. And this week we're going to be talking about, as you could tell from Cliff's reading, we're going to be talking about Rahab. Interestingly enough, this is not the only list the genealogy is not the only list in which we find the name Rahab. She is found among the list of the faithful, what we often call the heroes of faith, in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, there's where the five women in the genealogy is a pretty exclusive club. The listing of women in the heroes of faith is a much more exclusive club. Only two women are found in that list. The first is Sarah. Now, of course, what we know about Sarah was that she was the recipient of the promised child, one of the promises made to Abraham that he would bear a son, and that, of course, was Isaac. So we know a lot about Sarah, so we shouldn't be too surprised to find her in that list of heroes. But the other woman, as I mentioned in Hebrews, is Rahab. That verse is found in Hebrews 11, verse 31. "By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies." I find it interesting that both women, this is just a free thing I'm throwing in here, that both women are associated with some deceit that we find. The Abraham saying Sarah was his sister, and, you know, she may not have been the person doing it, but she was associated with that. And of course, we know about Rahab's deceit, but yet they both are commended for their faith. But I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit there, but I did want to make that connection. Now, there are many people in the Bible that are associated with their profession. Matthew was a tax collector. We know that Paul was a tent maker. Peter was a fisherman. So it's not unusual for us to associate people with their lines of work. So what was Rahab? Well, five times in scriptures, we're told that Rahab was either a harlot or a prostitute. She was not an Israelite. She wasn't from the family of Abraham. From their perspective, the children of Israel, she was a Gentile. She was definitely an outsider. So the fall of Jericho happened because the faith that the children of Israel displayed about these unusual methods, about how the city would be destroyed and would be overtaken. The children of Israel had to have faith that what they were doing was going to happen. You know, we think of it, they marched seven times around and the city fell. And I think Tim even led a song about Jericho the other night. And you don't think about it. That did take a lot of faith. I bet there was a lot of questioning from some members of the nation of Israel as they marched around. What are we doing here? Really? We're embarrassing ourselves. There may have been some of that talk. So faith was something there that needed to be had, or that would not have happened. But as we're going to find out, the faith found in the children of Israel is not the only account of faith that we're going to, that took place that day. In the text that Cliff read, we first learn about Rahab, and she's the only person that we know in the city of Jericho by name. There are mentions of kings and other people, but she's the only one that we know of. So what would possibly lead her to want to do this? Why would she want to help these spies? Well, I think the answer is faith. She had come to be a believer in kind of a roundabout way, but I think it's not too difficult to understand why she's found in Hebrews 11. She took a lot of faith from her to do what she did. So let's consider what happened here. She'd heard stories of this nation that had come up out of Egypt, out of their captivity, by crossing a great sea on dry land. She had heard stories of how two kings had fallen just recently, and that their nations had been totally destroyed while trying to stop the children of Israel. She knew that the whole city of Jericho was in terror of this people coming upon them. She was not an Israelite. She hadn't seen these miracles firsthand. She hadn't seen the battles firsthand. These were only stories. Lots of people tell a lot of stories, but she believed these stories. She believed in the God of the Israelites. Before she even talked to the spies about sparing her family, she was willing to go against her king. She met with the men, the king's men that had come. They demanded to see the spies, and she sent the men off on a wild goose chase. What would have happened if the men had said, "No, what? You know, we're going to search this house"? She probably would have been killed. She would have been at the very least imprisoned. And so it took some faith on her part to risk that by lying to these men. If we go down into Joshua chapter 2, continue where Cliff left off, verses 4 through 6. When the men ask where the spies are, this is what she responded. "But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, 'True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them.' But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof." All right, so let's deal with the 800-pound gorilla that's sitting over in the corner. Yes, Rahab did lie. She's found among the heroes of faith. A lot of people have a lot of problems with that. A lot of people question how this liar can be found among the heroes of faith. Did God condone her lie? Does this teach us that in certain circumstances it's perfectly acceptable to tell a lie? Well, we have to look at the entire situation here to get any kind of an answer. Of all the people that get hung up on the fact that Rahab lied, but yet she's held up as this example of faith, they don't ever bring another part of her situation into that equation. As I shared earlier, we're told in five different places about her occupation. She's a harlot. She's a prostitute. These same people who get hung up on this lie being a part of and associated with someone who is of the heroes of faith, they don't get hung up on the life she was living prior to her telling that lie. They don't ever say, "How could a prostitute be counted among the heroes of faith?" It's usually people who have questioning about it or wonder why she's there. It's about the lie. But I think the answer is here, that God didn't condone the lie. We're not told that the spies told her to lie on their behalf. They did not encourage her to do that, I'm confident. But just as God didn't overlook the lie, he didn't overlook the fact that she was a harlot or a prostitute. I think you would have a hard time finding anyone to think that God would have condoned her being a prostitute. We're not told, and I'm fairly confident, that when Rahab was rescued and she did become a part of the nation of Israel, I don't think anybody would argue that she continued to live that life of a prostitute in the nation of Israel. So are we to believe that Rahab would continue to be a liar in that sense? I happen to think that that would not be the case either. So the state of Rahab's life at the time that she told this lie to the king's men was it was a sinful life. And I'm sure this wasn't the first time Rahab had ever told a lie. She did what she felt she needed to do at that point in time, because she needed to save her family. She knew the devastation that was coming. She believed the stories that she had heard. And she did what she needed to do. There's lots of things in the Bible. The story of Tamar last week. The activities in there that we talked about. Laying down with his daughter-in-law and so forth. God doesn't condone that. No one ever questions that. I mean, people do things in the Bible that are not right. That's why they're examples for us. We can see things that happen to them. So the fact that the story doesn't make an issue of her lie, there's nothing in the writing that talks about Rahab lied. So if it doesn't make an issue of her lie, it doesn't really make an issue of her being a prostitute. Leads me to think that people really are focusing on the wrong thing here. They're focusing on the negative. They're focusing on the lie, when really they need to be focusing upon the great faith that Rahab showed here. And it leads me to believe that it didn't affect her ability to become a faithful member of Israel, and it didn't stop her from becoming a member of Jesus' family tree, which is why we're talking about her. All right, so as we get back to the story here, we have to recognize, like I said, there's an enormous amount of risk here that Rahab is taking. But her concern is not just for these strangers. It's for herself and for her family as well. If we continue on in Joshua chapter 2, verses 7 through 13, after the king's men are gone, she goes to the roof and she speaks to the spies. Starting in verse 7. The men pursued after them, the men being the king's men. The men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. And the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there is no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house. And give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. As I mentioned earlier, she had heard stories along with others in the city of what they had done. The account is given here. She knew what had happened. People were scared. She was scared. She's convinced that the God of Israel is about to conquer her city as well. She wants to enter into an agreement with these spies and with their God. She believes that Jehovah can save her and her family. In the text that's found in Hebrews that I read earlier about her being included in that list of the faithful, Rahab is contrasted with those who perished because they were disobedient. The King James says they did not perish with them, that she and her family did not perish with them that believed not. This would simply imply that others could have believed as well, but they chose not to. They were not convinced. So she risked her very life. She had nothing more to go on than the reports from others of the devastation that had happened to these other countries. But now she does see the presence of these spies as well, in her household. She sees these spies. It's very real to her now. Now, if we look at verse 11 there in Joshua chapter 2, we do find this confession of faith and shows why she was found among the list of the faithful in Hebrews chapter 11. But reading in verse 11 of Joshua 2, and as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. I think that's a pretty faithful saying. That's someone who is believing. God knows people's hearts. I don't believe for a second that she was just saying this. I think she believed it. In addition to this account in Joshua, and in addition to the account in Hebrews chapter 11 that we find, Rahab's found in one other example of faith, and that's actually in James chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. James chapter 2. James writes there, and in the same way was not also Rahab the prostitute? Notice that James doesn't call her Rahab the liar. It's Rahab the prostitute. Was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. James is saying it took great faith for Rahab to take these men into her house and do what she had to do to hide them and give her a chance to save her and her family. She pleaded with these men for mercy, recognizing that she needed to rely upon God to save her and her family. She couldn't save herself. She needed God. And if you advance forward thousands and thousands of years, that's the same situation we find ourselves in. We can't save ourselves. We need to rely upon God for that same faith that she had. We have to have the same faith. Those are the same elements that are built into our salvation today. If we continue on, verses 14 through 21, and the men said to her, our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you. Pardon me. And hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterwards you may go your way. The men said to her, we will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Then, if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. Then she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. So her salvation, her deliverance from this attack that was about to happen, had a lot of conditions in it. She and her family couldn't tell anyone about the spies, couldn't tell anyone about what they had talked about, what their plans might have been. She had to convince her family to leave their home and stay with her, and she had to leave that scarlet cord in her window. She said, according to your words, so be it. This is the answer of someone who has great faith, who believes that God is going to do what she swore them to do. Now, if we fast forward to Joshua chapter 6, for the sake of time, I will not be reading it. I'll reference here a portion of it here in just a moment, but we're not going to read the entire account. But I'm sure you all know the story about the fall of Jerusalem and what the children of Israel had to do. The people were to march around the city once for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, they were to march around it seven times. Seven priests were to blow trumpets of ram's horns, and the people were to shout. Can you imagine the anxiety that Rahab had as she watched this happening? She lived on the wall. She had a view of what was happening. We're not told that she knew the plan, because I don't think the spies at this time knew the plan of marching around the city as they did. She sees these people marching around the city once a day, blowing horns and shouting. Well, that came later, I'm sorry. But she saw them marching around the city. She doesn't know the plan. But yet every day the sun sets and they haven't come and saved her. She doesn't know what's about to happen. I'm sure she just was a nervous wreck. And she had to convince her family they had to stay with her. She didn't know when the attack was going to happen. She couldn't say, oh yeah, run down to the, go down to the vendor and buy whatever, milk, eggs, whatever it might be. They had to stay in there because the attack could happen at any moment. So, despite all this, we are not told that she took down the cord. She alone understood what it meant. That cord was what was saving her and her family. And once again, that took great faith. Now, how do I know she never took down this cord? Well, I will read this part of Joshua chapter 6. We look at verses 21 through 25. Then they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys with the edge of the sword. But to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her. So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. God did exactly as what the spies had agreed to. Her faith finally was rewarded. This would have only happened if she had kept that cord in the window. So that's how I'm positive that she did so. It's likely that during the 13 times that they marched around that city, I bet those spies were looking up for that cord. They had confirmed. They knew that cord was still there. And Joshua told them to go complete their part of the oath. So as we close, let's look at what we know about Rahab concerning the lineage of Jesus. Joshua chapter 6 and what I just read tells us she became a faithful member of the nation of Israel. That's pretty much backed up in Hebrews 11. If she had just gotten away with her life, but then went on to live her life the way she'd just gone on to another city, she wouldn't have been mentioned. And plus, we know other things about her as well. She lived her sinful life. She became a servant of God, and she learned to live righteously. Now, the genealogy of Christ that we find in Matthew chapter 1 tells us that she married a man named, I don't think it's Salmon, but I'm going with Salmon, but it could be Salmon, who knows. She married a man named Salmon, who bore a son named Boaz, who was the husband of a woman named Ruth, who was the mother of Obed, the grandmother of Jesse, the great-grandfather of David. So Rahab was the great-great-grandmother of David. David was a man after God's own heart. And David was definitely a forefather of Jesus. So the story of Rahab is a story of hope and of faith. It doesn't matter where you're from, what your life is. It doesn't matter what your living situation, the situation of your life may be. Or even, what you may do for a living. God can and will deliver you and give you a new life. And that's the message that we have. We should all strive to have faith like that of Rahab. At this time, Richard Jose will lead us in a prayer and we'll be dismissed to our class.